Welcome to this meeting of the Standards Committee. Could we have any apologies for absence?
Yes, Chairman, apologies from Councillor. Councillor Bree. Apologies from Councillors Perlman and Dobson. And in accordance with notice duly given, Councillor Duick is substituting for Councillor Perlman and Councillor Savage is substitute for Councillor Dobson.
Thank you. Minutes of the last meeting. I've got two knobs here. Is one of them?
You can leave yours on all the time.
All right. Okay. We do the minutes of the last meeting.
Chairman, just for members' information, in members' places tonight, they have been circulated before, but just for the sake of completeness, the appendices that are referred to in the minutes are in members' places, but they have been before council and agreed. But
so we go from... I've got page 87.
That's more than
Dogger. Oh. Yes, that's what I thought. That's what it says in the... It says 5. Let's look in the other thing. Agenda.
The members will have pages 87 on it, so just call page
yes.
87.
Yes, okay. So I'll call out pages 87, 88, 89, 91.
No. That's it.
Oh, just the minutes. Okay. I thought we had... that's an agenda item, isn't it? Okay. We then move on to disclosure. Yes, Councillor Savage.
I would like it put in the minutes that I cannot approve these minutes in full. Although I was here as in attendance, I wasn't part of the committee at the time and I was not present at the exclusion of press and public. So I would like it recorded in this event with the minutes I abstain.
I call for disclosures of interest. Councillor Nunn.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to disclose a non-pecuniary interest in item 5 as I am acquainted with the subject.
Councillor Savage.
Myself likewise.
Councillor Sampson.
Thank you, myself likewise. I assume in point of fact we all are.
Yes. So we move on to then to item 5, Councillor Code of Conduct request for a dispensation. And I ask the monitoring officer to speak.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair. In essence, the purpose of this report is to consider a request from Councillor Hurd for a dispensation to enable him to participate in meetings where he has disclosable pecuniary interest. In short, the local code of conduct for councillors prohibits a councillor who has a DPI in a matter under consideration at a meeting, he or she shall disclose that interest and must not participate or vote in that meeting. In those circumstances, the councillor must withdraw from the meeting unless a dispensation has been received. Councillor Hurd has written to the Chief Executive requesting a dispensation to enable him to attend and participate in meetings of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee operating as a Crime and Disorder Committee. The monitoring officer's recommendation is to decline this request for the following reasons. The Localism Act 2011 provides for the council to grant dispensations in limited circumstances. This enables members to participate and to vote on matters in which they have a DPI. This is contained in section 33, subsection 2 of the Act. In such circumstances, the council may grant a dispensation under this section only if having regard to all the circumstances. There are five subsections to this, and these are set out in the report, which is very comprehensive and I believe are self-explanatory. These have been considered, and none of these are applicable in Councillor Hurd's situation. From my experience in working in other authorities, it is inconceivable to grant such a wide request and a blanket dispensation. This is not a singular one-off request, it's for a blanket one. And in doing so, if we were to grant it, this would set a bad precedent. Hence my recommendation. In most councils, the request comes purely to the monitoring officer. It doesn't go to a standards or a joint standards committee, but the procedure is such. I would therefore recommend that the committee declines the request for the reasons stated and the reasons contained in the comprehensive report. Thank you.
Would anybody like to speak? Councillor Bassavanda.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, clearly Councillor Hurd is quite passionate about, well, we've all read his email, as I'm sure we have. And he does have a lot to give because of his experience within crime and prevention. However, if we make an exception for him to be part of a committee where he does have a pecuniary interest, I'm afraid that could open the door to all sorts of other people coming forward and saying they can also or should also be on certain committees. I think it's a shame that we can't utilise his experience on a committee, but I don't believe we can. And I do agree with the what's put forward to us that we should not agree to this waiver. And he clearly has declared this pecuniary interest, so I'm in agreement with the officers. Thank you.
Councillor Nunn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Having disclosed an interest here, the monitoring officer has mentioned that this is a request for a wide element of dispensation. It isn't, of course. It's a request for dispensation from this committee, the specific committee. So I think we need to bear that in mind. Also, I think there's a fine line, isn't there, between bringing an element of expertise to the council, which I hope all of us do in our own particular ways, and having some element of inside influence. As I understand it, Councillor Hurd is no longer a serving police officer, but holds a lesser back office administrative role, and I'm at a bit of a loss really to understand what influence he's likely to have on his own position and the police authority in general by serving on this committee and the district council.
Thank you. Councillor Savage.
I too have declared a non-pecuniary interest in this, and I've read with interest the council's letter. I believe there may be he's gone further than just back office and may have worked almost representing the police in liaising with them and this council into certain aspects of the council accepting the police as a tenant. On that basis, I find it very strange that he can be as independent as he claims in his letter when it comes to scrutinising not just the police commissioner and how he operates, but the Crime and Disorder Panel also scrutinises the operational matters of Stephen Kavanagh, our Chief Constable. And I must agree on this occasion with the monitoring officer that he not be granted this dispensation, because I think there is more in his letter and it's not stated. I thought just add information that I can back up in writing what I've said, but I'm not sure that it's confidential.
Councillor Thompson.
Thank you, Chairman. I find I'm very much in agreement with Councillor Acevedo, because we're not dealing with whether this is a person we like, whether this is a person over whose integrity we have no question. That's really not the point. The point is going to be what a member of the public would think.
Yeah.
And that, I'm afraid, is if I didn't know Councillor Hearn and I didn't know much about it at all, except that he sat on a certain committee, I would be concerned that the police force might have influence over him, not the other way round. That it would be conceivable, it isn't inconceivable after all, that an employee could be put under pressure to vote a certain way. Plus, it is a fairly wide-ranging thing. It is, as Councillor Savage says, we're talking about anything that would come before the Crime and Disorder Committee, which could indeed include talking to the Chief Constable. So I regret that, against possibly a personal inclination, I feel obliged to agree with the monitoring officer's recommendation.
Councillor Dewick.
Thank you, Chairman. In the 20-something years I've been on this council, I can't ever recall this question ever coming up before. It seems the most peculiar one. When we join the council, I think we all know that if we have an employer or a customer who could be an equivalent to an employer in providing us with enough work, that it gives us a pecuniary interest, and we don't query that. We just accept it as fact. If we don't like it, then we stop being a councillor, or we stop being an employee of where the problem comes from. And I don't see how we can make an exception in this case, simply because it is set in the rules, as the monitoring officer has said. And it's set in the rules for very good reason. If you give a dispensation in a case like this, then the outside world, who elects us, has every right to wonder what is going on and why it is being agreed in that way. And so I couldn't support a dispensation at all on there for those reasons. Thank you.
Are you ready to vote that we follow the recommendation of the monitoring officer that we refuse the dispensation? Those in favour? Those against? One against. Any abstentions? No. That is carried. Item 6. This is the one where you've got...
Chairman, we're past that.
Have we?
Yeah. Chairman, what you're referring to there is the appendices to the minutes that were put on members' places for completion.
What's this one then?
That's in the agenda pack. Agenda item 6. This is one matter carried over from the committee's last consideration, when I think for the most part they completed, after 2-3 attempts to perhaps knock into better shape the constitutional and working arrangements of the committee, and the consequential updating of those flowcharts, which I think at the last meeting members will recall and agreed generally those flowcharts were becoming somewhat overpopulated and difficult to follow, and I suggested perhaps a written summary of the step by step might be a better way to go. This was produced in time for the committee's overall recommendations last time to be considered by council, but quite rightly the summary hadn't been before this committee, and council have just pushed it back through this committee to recommend back on the written summary to effectively, so far as the constitution is concerned, to take the place of the flowcharts. There's no reason why the flowcharts can't be kept as a background aide memoir, if you like, but the summary I believe is easier to read and for presentational purposes as part of the constitution, which will then be published, I think will be easier to follow, and in my experience is what a lot of councils do have in place. So the summary is there as the appendix to this report. Have members got it? Appendix 1 to this report, and is up to date in terms of the amendments made at the last meeting of the council. Obviously district councillors will be aware of this, at the last meeting of the council where this committee's recommendations were accepted. I believe it was Councillor Fluker made a proposition which was agreed for a couple of changes which affected a couple of boxes on the flow chart about the time scale in which the monitoring officer should give notice to a subject council and all parties as to the outcome of committee's deliberations. So the summary is, as far as I can see, bang up to date in that respect, Chairman.
Fine. We're still on agenda item 6, and you've had a look at the summary. Councillor Savage.
The appendix 1, which is page 17, I have three issues with. With the appendix tables or on the table and the flowchart, these three issues are repeated. So if I deal with page 17 in the written summary, I think you'll find it easier than go through the other bits. My understanding, correct me if I've got this wrong, is that any complaint is tested for vivacious, trivial or repetitive. Yet nowhere in any of these flowcharts or descriptions does that test actually appear to be looked at. Now that should be done, I would have thought, right at the beginning. So that's one of the issues. I've never seen it, although when you read what you're supposed to do, that is there.
Yeah.
Now my second part is in paragraph page 1. Because I would like to know...
Paragraph page 1.
Yeah, it's stage 1, paragraph 1. It's still on page 17.
Oh.
I would like to know where the officers of the district council have been elevated above the status of the public. My understanding of the code of conduct was for complaints of the perception of the public, not of officers. So I would like to know why the public appear to have been removed from all of this. And the other interesting one is paragraph 4. I was also under the impression, correct me if I'm wrong, that the councillor should be able to contact directly the independent person if there is a problem with the monitoring officer. Now it appears in this the monitoring officer can do that, but the councillor appears to be penalised. And I think these three items need to be addressed, or I might suggest that they might have a very awkward, if non-acceptable, vote through full council.
Thank you.
Right. The first point, Chairman, about... The first point, Chairman, so far as the process sifting out vexatious and habitual and other is included in the existing complaints process, and it's shown in the stage one flowchart process in the third of the big boxes, which will be at the early stage of the initial assessment by the monitoring officer. It says complaint considered by MO in consideration in consultation with the independent person having regard to legislation, the local code of conduct, Nolan principles, the council's vexatious and habitual complaints policy. You know, there's a whole raft of considerations that the monitoring officer is bound to give any complaint made as part of the initial assessment to know exactly how to deal with it and how it should proceed under stage one. So that is taken care of, Joan. Does that help, Councillor Savage?
Can I have a supplementary on that one?
Yes.
If that is the case, could I request that it be put into the box so there's no argument that it is actually dealt with? Because
it is in the box.
It's in the highlighted bit. Well, it...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it only mentions two, and I think there are three, aren't there? Because it... You've got vexatious, habitual,
Chairman, it's a description of an important, of a key step in the complaints process. I mean, it's meant to indicate the level of consideration that the monitoring officer will give to initially assess a complaint and the nature of it. And it's there, it's taken account of, Chairman.
Thank you.
I mean, the idea of the summary, of course, is not to repeat word for word everything in what I think everybody's agreed is an overpopulated complaints process flowchart, which can stay in the background, but the summary is intended to not say what everybody will do in detail, but the important steps of each stage. Yeah. It's almost at a glance, really, with key timescales.
Yeah.
The second point, I don't think there's any intention or otherwise about elevating officers above the public. The whole point of paragraph one, which again reflects a point that this committee put into the complaints process, which recognises, and it's all part of the initial assessment of a complaint, If complaints can be made by anybody, can be made by another member, a parish council, a member of the public, it's the conduct complaints process is available to the world at large in that sense. But all this is saying, if there is a complaint by an officer of the council against a member, then we do have in place a member officer protocol.
Yeah.
Which sets out methods of resolution, and before we go down the conduct complaint route, then in that particular situation, the member officer relations protocol should be the first point of reference. That's all that is saying.
Thank you. And the third point.
And the third point. Councillor Savage, remind me again.
I will remind you. It is paragraph four.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Access to the independent person is available under the law. It's nothing peculiar about Malden District Council's complaints process. So complainants and members affected by a complaint have access to the independent person.
Could I just have a quick
supplement? Yes. But this is the last one.
That's fine. Could somewhere in the complaint indicate where the public's complaints come in if the officers have a little protocol before they come into the system? And could it be put somewhere so that councillors do actually know the independent person can be contacted? And one of the reasons I brought this up is that my access to the code of conduct was under Simon Quelch before he left. The training was given by him. Then the training was given by Alex Hallam after that. Then we had the dissolution of the Standards Committee and the adjudication panel. We now have the new system. but I don't recall any training on the new system ever being given. And that came about because the Mayor of London, Ken Livingstone, had two very successful High Court of Appeal cases, and in both cases he got full costs. So we are lacking, unless I've missed it somewhere, training on the modern code of conduct.
Well, that wasn't a question you asked before.
No, that was the reason why I queried whether it had access to the independent person.
Chairman, it will be the start of populating this summary, but if members feel it will be helpful, we can add that reference as Councillor Savage to make that clear that there is independent access to the independent person.
Indeed, Chairman, because I believe some of the new district councillors may never have had any training at all.
Chairman, if I may, I can't resist coming back on that one. At the start of this council, there was induction training organised by the monitoring officer on the code of conduct and related matters.
Yeah.
Well, I must come back, Chairman. Thank you. I must come back to you on that. All training was cancelled. I was a new member, and everything I was offered, and this is really important, I was not offered that training, and had I been offered it, I would have accepted. I actually accepted training on quite a few issues within the points within the council that I believed I needed training on as a new member, and all were cancelled. Thank you.
Oh, I wonder which one I went to then. Because I was in a room with the monitoring officer and there's several other councillors, and we had a... Oh, well, I can't remember now. I've slept.
Chairman, induction training was provided because the monitoring officer, Melissa Kelly, and myself provided it, and that was before the decision was taken to wrap up the rest of the induction programme. Yeah. But to assist members, there was a decision of this committee, a recommendation to council a couple of meetings ago,
yes,
that code of conduct training be provided to all members of the council afresh, and that is in the process of being set up, Chairman.
So we'll make sure. Councillor Thompson.
Thank you, Chairman. New question, if I may. Now, I don't know how many of us have been in receipt of Councillor Lewis's email that came earlier.
Can I say that we have received that and we are going to deal with it and suggest to her the way in which she can move forward?
Right, thank you, Chairman. I wasn't thinking of any case in particular, any person in particular, but as regards the general point.
No, it's going to be dealt with.
Thank you very much. That answers my question, I hope.
Is this...
Yes, it is. I would like to it stated I have not been in receipt of these emails because I have been in Ukraine all day. That's at the embassy.
Yeah. Well, we will deal with it. Okay. So we'll move on.
So is this committee prepared to recommend to council?
Can I ask the committee, are you prepared to recommend this summary to the full council
with the addition?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. We move on then to yes, there's no other items of business that are urgent.
Seven. You got
agenda item seven. Oh, where's that one?
Page 19.
Oh.
But it doesn't have a front page, actually.
Oh.
Just a brief introduction to
Chairman. Yes, I've got it.
This is something the committee has asked for in the past, to be kept updated.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes, I know.
On the complaints position generally. The monitoring officer has formulated this in an anonymised way. The information broadly is not about the nature of the cases. It's more to do with numbers and types and category abreast of the general workload and how it's proceeding. And as a result, the way it's being presented, it can be dealt with in open session, Chairman.
Yeah. Well, we were surprised at a meeting where the monitoring officer announced how many cases he had dealt with. And we were very surprised because we felt where we would like to be kept in touch with what was going on. And as there was such a large number about which we knew nothing, we felt, well, as the standards committee, we ought to know something. So we did a bit of delving around. You'll be glad to hear that recently there have been 13 complaints, 6 against district councillors, 7 against parish councillors. 2 of the parish councillor ones are still running, and so they're in stage 1. But every other case has been dealt with. Are you happy with that? And I think we could have a report each meeting about how many there have been and how many have been dealt with and how many are outstanding. Councillor Alcevado.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I'm really pleased that this came up actually from the independent person who brought that forward to us a couple of meetings ago, that we were unaware of how many complaints there were and the nature of those complaints, even if they're in outline only. And I'm really pleased that we've now gone forward, and clearly 13 complaints, 11 of which have already been dealt with satisfactorily. I think this is the way forward, and I think we need to continue to do this, and I'm really pleased that it's been put into operation. Thank you.
Does the independent person want to speak? Did you want to say anything, Mr. Hudson?
No, not really, no. I think I made the point a couple of meetings.
Okay, right. Well done. Thank you very much. Does that get to the end of the agenda?
No.
Well,
the public part of the agenda.
Oh yes, yes, I'm going
to move to go into conflict private session.
Well, I'm just going to say there's no items of urgent business, so we move on to the private session. Actually, there's nobody here. That's
we still have to do it.
But I will do it anyway. Yes. Can I ask the committee to resolve that under Section 100A(4) of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following items of business on the ground that it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 1 of part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test.
That is for agenda item.
That is from agenda item then. Can we have the...
Is that agreed?
Do you agree? Yeah, of course they agree.
Of course.